All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight on the show, but first and foremost, we will be talking about Indiana basketball, who has, at this moment, clinched at least a share of the Big Ten championship for 2016, based on some help from Iowa and Maryland losing during the course of last week and weekend. So the Hoosiers now with a two-game lead over Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, and Wisconsin. And the destiny for a outright Big Ten championship entirely theirs. They have games, of course, on Tuesday at Iowa and at home on Sunday against Maryland. Win one, and they win an outright Big Ten championship. And Glass, just starting there, we knew these other teams that were right up there had some tough chances that they had to take, some tough games that they had to play. The Hoosiers, though, I mean, if you think back to Maui, if you think back to the Duke game and losing by 20 down there at Cameron, and really, what is it, 93 points I think they gave up, not looking like they belonged in that building. Losing James Blackman, and I know there's reasons to think that maybe that has helped them in certain ways, and we'll talk about that too. But to think back to that Duke game and how bad everything seemed at that point in time, and now you're talking about a team that's atop the Big Ten with only three losses at this moment during the course of the season. I don't know if it's a turnaround, but it certainly is a righting of the ship and some great play here in the last couple months.
Yep, no question about it. It's the 22nd championship for the Hoosiers. This is the ninth one they've shared, so if you think that doesn't happen often, well, the Big Ten is very hard to win.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are involved with that, and shared or non-shared, it doesn't matter. But the one thing you want to be moving forward, obviously, and we'll talk about that as the show continues as well, is outright champions, because if you're not, that means you lost your last two games. That means any momentum you've gained from beating Illinois on the road or wherever your momentum has come from has, maybe not stood up. The irony is that Indiana was handed the title because Iowa and Maryland had to play at two places Indiana didn't. They had to win at Ohio State and win at Purdue, and neither team did, but that's not the Hoosiers' problem. You can't do anything about what the league schedules. You can only play the guys you're going to play. And the last time we talked to you, Indiana was going to Illinois. They played without Robert Johnson, and they blew out Illinois. They love playing Illinois in second half. 61 points in Bloomington and 47 at Champaign. It's just that's a great matchup, but it doesn't matter. Indiana champions, again, for the first time since 2013, a little bit easier than the run-in there. But for not having to play on the weekend, Dave, and waking up on waking up from your nap on Sunday afternoon and seeing, hey, there you go. Maryland not playing very well right now. Iowa not playing very well. Iowa was 7-0 in the league at one time. They are now 11-5, and they've lost four of their last five, and Indiana goes there tomorrow night. Four players on senior night, four seniors and a junior, got outscored 12-2 at the Value City Arena yesterday. At the 4:02 mark, Mike Gazell hit a layup or hit a shot and put them up 62-56. They lost the game with 68 points. So in the final 4 minutes, those four seniors and one junior are either out of gas or – that run in the beginning of the year where they had to beat Michigan State twice and had to beat Purdue twice and had to play the tougher part of the schedule, no bench, that's Iowa's problem. It's not Indiana's problem. It's Iowa's problem. Maryland, 0-19 on the road against ranked teams. Are we ranked this week?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
So, again, Indiana did exactly what they had to do with their schedule. They should have improved as the season went on. Your point's excellent. After watching them at Maui and watching them at Duke, if they were going to continue to play that way, Dave, there wouldn't be any season to talk about.
No.
And they did figure it out. They figured it out. They had to guard at some point. They figured out where to get the offense going at some point. They figured out how to win without James Blackman Jr. They figured out how to win without Troy Williams. They figured out how to win with Thomas Bryant. And when you throw all that together.
Robert Johnson now, too.
And Robert Johnson, we told you on Wednesday, though, we didn't think that was going to be an issue. We knew Indiana was better than Illinois. You still had to go out and do it, and they did. Mm-hmm. But throwing all that stuff together, the naysayers will say, but yeah, look at their schedule. Yeah, I can't completely disregard that, but they went out and they won 13 of their first 16 games. They have a two-game lead, just like you mentioned, and nobody else does. So now finish it, because I don't think losing the last two games is anything they want to do.
No, at this point in time,
that's not it.
You want to finish it off right. You want to go ahead and claim that outright because you have the chance to do it. I don't think there's any question about that. You have to look at the schedule, I think, if you talk about this season, and certainly there are benefits, and Indiana has been one of the beneficiaries. There are eight teams that are going to finish above 500 in the Big Ten. IU is one of two that only played two of those eight other seven teams, rather, twice. Ohio State is the other team that did that. Michigan State played three of those teams, those other seven teams, twice, and the rest of them played them four. Actually, Michigan also played only three, but everybody else played four of those teams twice. So have they had an easier schedule? Yeah, they have. And they finished with two teams that were at the top or tied for second right now in their last two games. So certainly that's going to come up a little bit. But the bottom line is it's still, at this point, 16 games, will be 18 games. And you can point to every other team up there at the same time having issues and having flaws. I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Iowa here has lost three or four, or four or five, rather, when they were in first place and had a chance to certainly make everything happen. Maryland has, you know, been up and down over the course of the season, and they've got as much or more talent than anybody in the entire Big Ten at this stage, and some pretty good veteran talent at that. You know, with Iowa, I think you got to give them a break just a little bit on the bench, but they've got all the seniority. I mean, that's the thing. And their issue is they peaked so early for them. And Michigan State peaked in the pre-conference and now is peaking again at the end of it. And just looks like they're probably the best team. But the bottom line is they had their own little swoon in the middle there, too.
Look, Indiana found a way to incorporate OG Anunoby, Juwan Morgan, Harrison Niego. Go down the list of the bench players that they've brought in. They found a way to do it. Fran McCaffrey has been asked by his, and I've been following it because you always follow a team that's in first place, and they were for a long time. The questions that have been asked of them is, hey, you got to get these guys more minutes. When Iowa was 7-0, their bench was averaging like 20 points a game. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, because that's what Indiana's bench does when they're playing really well. They get the compliment. They get guys to rest. They get a break. And now their teams are dead on their feet. And how tight the collar getting in Iowa? Well, Fran McCaffrey's post-game press conference was 82 seconds yesterday. 82.
He wouldn't like him.
No, because he didn't have anything to talk about.
And that's at Ohio State, who's missing their best player for the rest of the year now, too.
And that same Ohio State team that got thumped by 19 by Michigan State on Tuesday night. Yeah, I know it's a transitive property thing, but, again, you have to be able to win games on the road in the Big Ten. Indiana did that. You mentioned last week they'd won the most, add another one with Illinois. Again, you beat Rutgers on the road. You beat Nebraska on the road. You beat Illinois on the road. Mm-hmm. You beat Minnesota on the road. Who am I leaving out? You beat Michigan on the road.
Michigan, yeah.
Okay. You did it. What more do you want them to do? You can't go beat Maryland on the road if you don't play them. You can't beat Purdue at Mackey if they don't schedule you. I mean, what else do you want this team to do? That's the point. The point is they've beaten who they needed to play in front of them. If they would have beaten Penn State at Penn State, this would all be over with and done, is amazingly to believe right now that would be done with a full week of
game. And again, it's not like that's a unique loss. You know, as far as these top teams losing to somebody, you wouldn't have thought they would have.
Right.
Iowa's got theirs certainly in a couple different spots, but they've all got it. That's the point.
And Indiana had less than them. Is it a product of the schedule? Part of it is. Is it a product of playing good basketball? Most of it is.
I think that's where
it is, because you still have to score. You still have to beat teams. You still have to not get tripped up like some of these other teams have. And Indiana has done so. But strangely enough, there are two games left. And if you do the math out and everybody wins and Indiana loses, they could be the fifth seed in the Big Ten tournament, which that's how the math works out, because – of the scheduling. So there is a double-edged sword to it. That's why it's important either tomorrow night or Sunday to take care of business and get that number one seed, get the double bye, and take, I don't want to say the easiest path, but you'd rather be number one, wouldn't you? Going into the Big Ten tournament, you get the break on when you play. You're the first game on Friday. You're the first game on Saturday, so you get the most rest. It's very much all to play for, and it's really nice when it's your own trophy.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number, but we'll talk about annihilating Illinois in the second half when we get back.
Don't leave out again. I like that. Again.
Again. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Some programming notes for you. We start sectional basketball this week, tomorrow night, in fact, as the Brown County Sectional in 3A hosts Owen Valley and Edgewood. That tips off at 7:30. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock. John Callahan and Terry Stultz will be on the call for that. Of course, IU hosts, or goes to Iowa, rather, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, and win and clinch an outright Big Ten championship. Lose, and they're still in first and have a chance to clinch again on Sunday, 4:30 CBS at home against Maryland on senior night for a couple seniors. And for this team, I think it's important to point out you've got a senior point guard, and that means a lot to a lot of teams for winning basketball games. What gets, I wouldn't say forgotten, but I suppose swept by a little bit, is the point that we've got a couple of the seniors that are graduating that were late additions because of roster spots that were opened up because of other issues. But Max Bielfeld and Nick Zeisloft have down the stretch here been playing and giving you really nice contributions from guys that weren't big players for the teams they came from, but they came here and they're not huge. Zeisloft did play 32 minutes the other night, but they've given you what you've needed. That's kind of a steadying influence, and maybe not every night you can count on huge points, but it's been important for this team given the losses they've had from the roster.
Yeah, and the depth has been one of the keys to why Indiana's successful this year. The depth off the bench, the depth on guys they can bring into the starting lineup, the depth they can give guys minutes to, because look what Iowa's done. They're a perfect example of why playing five guys the majority of the minutes maybe isn't the best solution in a league of this depth and magnitude and coaching and scouting and physicality, that you can't run guys out there 34 minutes a night and hope they're fresh the last 2 weeks of the season. It doesn't work that way, and you know what? Yogi's the one guy that's the exception to that rule, Dave. He's in fantastic shape. He's fit. He's as lean as a butcher's dog, as they like to say. There's not an ounce of fat on him. He's been through every battle and every war in every stadium in the league. He gets it. He knows how it works. He knows how to get whistles. He knows how to get in spaces. He makes really good decisions. And late in the game, he makes every foul shot that's needed. He got an off night Thursday night at Illinois. Wasn't needed in the sense to make all that. Instead, he just knocked down every three-pointer he looked at in the second half for 19 points, scoring as many as Illinois did as a team for a game-high 27. He's player of the week in the Big Ten. Not a huge surprise on any of that. Not bad for one night of work either.
Sure.
But Yogi's the key to it. Why? The ball gets in the right spots. When you get in a pickle, you get bailed out because he can beat you in multiple different ways, and he'll be a first-team all-league player. He'll be in the conversation for league player of the year, and that's what you'd hope. When he decided to come back for his senior year, you hoped this would happen. You hoped that he would be the fulcrum. You hoped he would be the straw that stirs, whatever analogy you want to use. That's what senior point guards do that are as talented as Farrell. His jump shot has improved greatly over the last 3.5 years. And I don't think he's played better at any point in the last 3.5 years. And why not save it for the last couple weeks of your senior season, the last month of your senior season, the last 6 weeks of your senior season? And he's done all of that, and it's been great. He's been given the keys. He was given the green light as a sophomore. He was given the green light as a junior, mm-hmm. because that's what Indiana needed at the time. Those teams, Dave, weren't maybe as successful as everybody thought they should be, but once they've got some pieces around him, now you've seen how he can attack defenses. You can see when he doesn't have to carry the shooting load, how effective this team can be, and that's precisely why they're in it. And since guys like Bielfeld, Zeisloff, and Anobi, Morgan, Williams, Bryant, Blackman, Johnson, all those guys have had games this year where you've looked at and you said, great, that's exactly what you need. Not every night out. Every once in a while, throw up a big one, and it rotates through. Zeisloff come off the bench, hit some threes. He went ice cold for, what, 5 or 6 games in a row? Indiana found a way to win. Yep. And that's the key. Every time something was knocked over in the grand scheme of things for this Indiana team, somebody else stepped in. Yogi took on more responsibility, and they just moved the pieces around. And that's truly the remarkable thing about it. I would have loved to have seen them play the hardest schedule in the league to see if this worked in other places. Now, Indiana's had some really good games at home and against some not-so-hot teams, perhaps on the road, Illinois being one of those, sure, clearly. But the way they've played, they're very difficult to guard when they make shots. Have they struggled on the road? Sure, a lot of teams struggle on the road. But again, with 5 wins, that's why they're conference champions.
And let's be fair about the schedule here. Again, they started the schedule with about the easiest road games you could hope for this year, and that's a benefit to them. They didn't put it that way, but given the timing of the James Blackman issue and the fact that their defense was still not anywhere near what it is right now, that is the best way. So from that standpoint, they got lucky. But they took care of that luck.
They executed. needed the luck.
They played differently in those two games, to me, from a physicality standpoint and a mentality standpoint, than we had seen most of the year up to that point in time. So something adjusted, and it was far from perfect at that stage of the season. But the point is, they did take advantage of that.
And I think the
offense came around pretty quick after that.
I think the adjustment happened when everybody decided, as a whole, as a unit, to stop doing anything but their job. Once everybody decided, hey,
there's a lot of spectacular that was attempted.
I've got that guy in front of me. I need to stop him from going past me. It's so simplistic, but Tom Crean has mentioned that throughout the year. We had to go back to some eighth grade stuff after getting beat sometimes because you're not doing the simple things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the simple things makes the game really easy. And yes, there are players on Indiana's team that have made the game highly complicated this year, and almost everybody has done that, but that's what you expect. These are kids. These are not trained professionals. These are not 10-year NBA guys we're talking about. They're 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. They get caught up in emotion. They get caught up in refereeing. They get caught up in hostile environments, and that's the part of it. Should you be playing your best basketball now or on January 1st? And any fan will tell you, well, why do you think everybody thinks Izzo's a good coach?
Yeah.
Well, because he might struggle against Lake Superior State. He might struggle in the early part of the year, but usually at the end of the season, he's been to how many Sweet 16s? And you got to take your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
You lose count because they're learning. He's mad. He's upset. It's a different style. I'm not comparing Crean to Izzo. Don't get me wrong. But every year there's a plan to be better at the end of the year. And I think if Indiana has one knock, that's been the knock in the last few years. It's been the Iowa fizzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the, geez, hey, let's go. Let's get it going. And maybe not relying on the bench. Maybe that's been the greatest thing, having guys like Zeisloft and Bielefeld, seniors who can play and just not seniors in name. There's a difference about that. If you're productive, it doesn't matter what class you're in.
Right.
But if you're productive and you're an upperclassman, and you're not making silly plays while you're being productive.
Mm-hmm.
The silliest thing Max does is takes maybe two or three threes a game that you say,
well,
I want to point
this out, though.
Zeisloff's not driving and turn the ball over.
He's
doing his job.
You mentioned on the defensive side, but what you've got here, though, is you've got a team that's buying into the idea of sticking closer to what it does well. On the whole, at individual spots, you know, the two freshmen, Morgan and Ananobi, they're going to try several different things, but they're not going to try multiple crazy things that they shouldn't be doing. They can hit three-pointers, so one or two of those a game is just perfect. It's great.
Shouldn't shoot anymore.
They're playing good defense. They're getting rebounds. With Max, look, he developed himself a pretty significant amount over the summer, got stronger. He's become a good post defender without taking chances, which has been huge when he's coming in for Thomas Bryant, who takes all kinds of chances and gets in foul trouble. He's developed a really nice game right inside the lane, and he can shoot three-pointers. These are not things that he came here with great skill at. And with Zeisloft is a shooter. I mean, hey, Max, put it up. That's what he's going to do. Sometimes it's a little too quick. There's no question about that. But, you know, you don't see him trying to do things he's not supposed to do.
No, he's not trying to take it to the hoop and have crazy finishes. And
earlier this season,
that,
as you mentioned, both offensively and defensively, I think you saw a lot of people that were trying to do things that they probably shouldn't be doing. And now they're a little bit more contained in what's smart for them, and they're taking advantage of that.
And there's other two things that seniors understand more than maybe 17-year-old reclassified freshmen: effort. They understand what effort is. We talked about before the season started, Bielefeld was going to get a ton of minutes if he understood his role was to junkyard dog it,
right,
clean it up underneath, and get every loose ball possible. Mm-hmm. And he's done that and hit threes.
And more, yeah.
So that's the great news. But you didn't have to teach Max Bielefeld two things: the physicality of the game or the speed of the game.
Right.
He knew all that. That's something that Hannah Perea couldn't catch up with. That's something Emmett Holt couldn't catch up with. That was something. Who, name our other inside post players.
Devin Davis was a different situation, but he's gone, so... Yeah,
again,
Jeremy Hollowell never adjusted to being, you know, to anything in the Big Ten.
Nick Zeisloft knows what his weaknesses and strengths are defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he wasn't counted on for 35 minutes a night to lock down somebody else. Colin Hartman has played a lot of minutes in this. Another guy that plays three or four positions. OG plays three or four positions. Morgan can guard three or four positions. Zeisloft can guard 2.5 positions. Bielefeld can guard he guards the 4 and the 5. You don't have guys you have to play around or avoid offensively or defensively, Dave, and that wasn't the case last year. There were times you'd look on the floor and there was 2.5 offensive options.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the case this year. That's why Yogi's been better. That's why the offense has been better. You surrounded him with guys that can score. You've got better basketball players. And that's, I think a legitimate concern. Some of these guys that you just rattled off didn't work here for whatever reason,
right,
whether it was on court or off the court. But you know what?
Something.
That's both.
Yep.
You got to do both here.
Yep.
So when you bring in a guy like OG, you say, well, he's 159th. Can he play or can he play?
Right.
In some games,
and is he willing to work? Is he willing to get better?
But you didn't have to count on him for every game.
That's right.
It
took a while. I mean, everybody's saying, why didn't you play these guys that early? I mean, you forget that there's a development that has to be there. You see that in every one of these players we're talking about.
You did. And you know what? When you win, things get better. Things are easier to focus on when you're winning because you don't have to stop practice and talk about eighth grade things five times a month. You do it once. You get a refresher course. Yeah. But instead, they can work on player development. They can work on shot. They can work on technique because they were beating teams 13 of the 16 they played, and they don't have to sit around and practice saying, okay, you guys can't guard anybody, so we got to do defensive drills for 2 hours today because you can't guard anybody. Right. You know what? Maybe they did in January, and maybe it worked.
Or kick you out of practice.
Whatever it could be. But did it get better? Sure. I don't think they're playing any worse. Have they overcome obstacles? Absolutely. They've overcome plenty of them. They are not alone in that. We asked all season long. We know what good teams do, and we know what great teams have to do. Mm-hmm. And so far, they're on good plus. Why? They still have two of the better teams in the league to play.
Yep.
And I don't think this is the time to say, well,
thanks.
Well, we already had it, so it's not a big deal. Because, again, finishing strong last year, they didn't do.
Yeah.
They lost 10 of their final 15 games, mm-hmm. and they were out in the first round of the tournament. Is that correct? Wichita State, 8-9 game. Uh-huh. They lost in the second game. At the Big Ten, but remember how hard they played in that game against Maryland? That last year we were talking about playing hard.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Oh, well, geez, you know, Iowa came here and beat you. Mm-hmm. With a bunch of juniors and a sophomore.
Yeah.
Oh, and Michigan State didn't have Brandon Dawkins. Well, you played hard.
Purdue.
That's what you did last year.
Yeah.
Talked about playing hard, but we talked about what happened late in those games. What happened in those games? Indiana didn't lead or tie more than one time in their last five losses in the final 10 minutes. That's a quarter of a game.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about that this year?
No,
we're not.
No, we're talking about making the plays. And at Illinois.
Unbeaten at home.
At Illinois, when you needed the win and you didn't need to screw around, it took them a half, but that's basketball, and they made it happen in the second half. 47-19 in the second half, held the fifth and 12th leading scorers in Big Ten games, combined 30.
Who are those guys?
That's Hill and what's his name?
Yeah. What's his name? All 9 points of what's his name?
Held them to 12 points. They're averaging over 30 together. So
that's always
got it done there. They've got another tough road game coming up. We'll talk about that tough road game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you. Tomorrow night we have high school basketball. It is playoffs time. The Brown County Sectional 3A. 7:30 is a tip-off for Owen Valley and Edgewood. We have Chalk Talk with Dave Mahurin starting at 7 o'clock here on WGCL. John Callahan and Terry Stultz on the call. And then Friday night we've got 4A sectional basketball, South versus the winner of
North and East Central. That'll be the first semifinal or the first session game tomorrow night at East Central, followed by the Battle of Columbus. That's game number two, but we know that Friday's game will be the first game of two, so that means Chalk Talk at 5:30 and South versus East Central, the hosts, or city rival North. We know the tip-off will be right at 6. Now, tomorrow night, let's remember, that if that first game goes double overtime and you turn it on and you're wondering why the game's not on, be patient, stick with us. We'll give you updates if that happens. But when it's the first game, we know exactly when it's going to be on. And if South or North wins on Friday night and moves to the finals, back in East Central on Saturday night for a 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and a 7:30 championship game. When Dave, South's what, 19-4? They've won, what, 12 in a row? It's been an impressive. Yeah. They've gotten hot at the right. You know what? JR's teams get hot at the end of the season. Why? Well, that's what they're designed to do as well. So impressive stuff from the locals. One thing tonight, Jackson Creek Middle School, 7 to 8:30 tonight, a Monroe County Community Schools conversation. They're going to have Bobby Cox, IHSAA commissioner. They're going to have Mike Mossbrucker from North, J.R. Holmes from South, Dave Pillar, Marcus Debro, Mick Hammett, Meg Montgomery. It's a symposium on kids, athletics, what goes on in the field, what goes on in the courts. I told those guys, I tell them about it. It's at Jackson Creek, plenty of parking, 7 to 8:30 tonight. Go to our Facebook page. You can see the flyer of everything that happens there. So if you want to know about what's happening, there have been some issues with the IHSAA lately. Some behaviors and other things. So trying to make the game a little bit easier for the kids and the parents.
333-2665 is the phone number again. Your Hoosiers, Yogi Ferrell is your Big Ten player of the week, and they are, at the moment at least, have a share of the Big Ten championship. They need one win in their last two games at Iowa tomorrow night and home to Maryland to claim an outright championship.
And, Dave, the other thing that you go that goes with that, which isn't as important for me, you already have the Big Ten championship. You're going to have a piece of it, minimum. Uh-huh. You want it by yourself for two reasons. No one likes to share unless you're in kindergarten.
Sure, why not? And you got two opportunities to do it.
And number two, if you'd like an easier route in the Big Ten tournament, that's very important. And with your best road win being at Michigan, you got to do something to get some national attention. Some people are upset on the old internet about where Indiana's predicted to be in the seeding world of the NCAA tournament. Well, they haven't beaten a lot of teams, Dave, on neutral courts or the road. They've beaten St. John's and Notre Dame on neutrals, and they've beaten Michigan. You want us to go through the four bottom ones? We're not going to.
No.
No, you don't have to. But you have to beat people on neutrals and road if you'd like to be in the NCAA frame of mind. And beating Iowa, yes, I know they've had a bad run. It's still four seniors on senior night and another junior, and a team that's been in the top 10 as of a week ago. That's a quality road win. That's a big win. It's going to do two things for you. It's going to move you up the pecking order and get you out of any tie breaks in the Big Ten. You will be a numero uno. You will have the trophy to yourself, and you will also start validating those people's concerns that think you are underrated on a national level. So there is plenty to play for tomorrow night, senior night at Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah, so tomorrow night will be difficult, but what you're looking at with Iowa is you're looking at a team that is leaking gas in a big way at this point. Lost four of their last five, starting with the Indiana game where the Hoosiers scored 85 points. At the Assembly Hall, they did win at Minnesota in what was a squeaker there. I believe they came from behind in that game. Lost at Penn State, which sounds familiar. Lost at home to Wisconsin, and that's a weird one with the whole Utah thing.
They didn't score.
And he didn't score much anyways.
They didn't score down the stretch.
Then they went to Ohio State yesterday and were not able to score. Again, they stayed right in that game. It's not like Ohio State blew them out, but Ohio State's not a real explosive team themselves are athletic, but they lost their best player. So that's a difficult loss for them.
And they didn't score in the final 4 minutes of the game. They scored 2 points.
Leaking oil and senior night, it's, again, they have relied on those seniors an awful, awful lot. And it's good to have the seniors. There's no question about it. These guys have played well and developed themselves. But it shows you, without some extra contribution, like you said, some guys stepping up in some key times and, you know, at least making sure there's somebody every night, this team really, really looks like it's lost all of its gas.
Now, to be fair, they played a Wisconsin team that's won now 10 of their last 11, caught them on fire. Mm-hmm. Hey, you don't score in the last 4 minutes of games, it's hard to beat anybody. It doesn't matter where you're playing. But here's what Iowa
59 points at home.
Here's what
is your problem.
That's the point, you can't score.
Wisconsin. And let's be fair there. Wisconsin scored, 59-58 here that we beat them. Granted, it was a three-pointer at the buzzer that made it 58. But the difference there is, you know, IU held them to under 60 also.
They only scored 64 points at Ohio State. Again, are they out of gas? Now you have the wounded animal problem with with Iowa, because they know the only way they can get a piece is by winning on senior night against us and then going to Michigan and beating the Wolverines. So their season is not dead yet. You'll see a level of desperation for them. It is senior night. And, Dave, we know the dichotomy of home and away in basketball. You play better at home. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The bad news for Iowa, they played Sunday afternoon. Now they got Tuesday night. Indiana's been sitting around for 5 days. So we let's be fair. That also falls in Indiana's advantage. Hoosiers didn't have to play this weekend. Iowa went and got lumped at Ohio State. Again, what hasn't fallen in Indiana's direction this year? The James Blackman Jr. injury is about it.
Yeah.
Everything else is falling right into place.
Well, and again,
they've played.
Let's be fair. They've overcome more than just the James Blackman situation. Troy Williams, you know, for what he is, has been all over the map for a good portion of this year. With Robert Johnson, this is going to be at the end of the season rather than during the entire season, but he's got.
He didn't play.
He's got an issue here. They played without him against Illinois. Is that going to continue to be, you know, something they can play through? Again, right, the projections I saw on the Big Ten Network yesterday was if you get the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, the number four seed right now is Michigan State.
Sure.
The one team nobody, as of today,
that's very
the one
important
team that nobody wants to play right now,
is Michigan State.
Correctly so, is Michigan State.
Anyway.
So is that lucky? I don't care. If I get the number one seed at that point, you take all the bets at that
point. But again, back to the Johnson injury, you didn't even play this weekend. He's got his leg in a boot, yeah. And you win the league.
Yeah.
That's falling into place where I come from. He's gonna have 10 days off when he takes the court tomorrow night.
Yep.
If they choose to play him.
If he does.
They might say, hey, you know what? Why don't we get him 17 days and get him ready to go?
Get him ready for Maryland.
For Maryland. And then you don't have to worry about re-aggravating it. You might not have to worry, but then you can worry about get him into shape for the Big Ten tournament. But then, again, when you play on Maryland on Sunday, if you're the number one seed, you will play first out of the chute on Friday.
Right.
So, again, if you can not have to play Johnson until then, you've got a good 3 weeks of healing going on there that, again, that's helping. That's helping it all. Hoosiers are four-point dogs as it stands right now. That's what the line opened at, if you're curious about that. So Indiana's road form is probably dictating that. Ken Pom, if you're into his numbers, also says Indiana's around a four-point underdog because Indiana, Dave, frankly, besides the Michigan
game. They don't
have
a lot on the road to talk about. They don't.
Against good opponents. They have plenty to talk about in the Illinois game. Yogi Ferrell gave them a great one.
Sure.
Second half, they shot the dimples off the basketball as they usually do against Illinois. But when Indiana struggles to shoot the basketball, that's where we've seen some of their tougher road games. They had a tough shooting night at Minnesota on that 11 a.m. game where they shot, 8 of 27 from three. Mm-hmm. They shot terribly from three-point line, 3 for 15 against Penn State. Really couldn't find any good looks there. So we've seen some of that action when the ball doesn't go in from the three-point stripe. But that wasn't the case against Illinois. The first time they played, they hit 19 threes to set every record in the league. And I can't remember from last Thursday how many they hit, but it was a lot. I think 10 in the second half to wipe Illinois off the map and blow that game wide open. So what do the Hoosiers do to put pressure on Iowa? It's not very difficult. They need to score and score and keep scoring and see if that tired Iowa team can keep up with their 9-deep rotation, put the pressure on them. And again, when the Hoosiers put the ball in the basket, Dave, that's the issue is not – that's not it. That's not the issue at all. It's what happens when Indiana's outside shooting is a little chilly and they have issues from perhaps Bryant, perhaps Williams, perhaps not having Robert Johnson. That will be a little bit different.
So we'll look a little further into that game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, just a reminder, we start high school sectional basketball tomorrow night with the Brown County sectional, Owen Valley against Edgewood. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock-ish and then 7:30-ish for a tip-off. That's the scheduled time, but there's always a first game over there in the sectional. So adjust accordingly, but tune in at 7 o'clock and be ready. And,
we'll be
Dave,
here.
Dave Mahurin will be your man leading you into Owen Valley and Edgewood. John Callahan and Terry Stultz on the call.
And some great news from Indiana University this afternoon. Terry Morin has been named the Big Ten Coach of the Year for the Indiana women, leading the women to their best finish in some time. That's the first Coach of the Year since 1983 for women's basketball at IU. And Tyra Buss was named All First Team League Performer. That's the first-teamer since 2006. Amanda Cahill was second team, and you know how the rule goes. To the victor go the spoils. Indiana, a top four finish. They get the double bye in the women's tournament. They'll take on they'll be playing on Friday afternoon in the top part of the bracket at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, so we'll do more on that as the week continues. But just great news, great season. They were 5,200 at Assembly Hall on Saturday to beat Penn State to finish their season unbeaten at home. So Terry Morin in season number two goes from 5 wins to 12 wins, and I lost track how many kids left the program. It was 3 or 4 last year.
Yeah.
So her message is getting through loud and clear. Good shout-out for the women.
Absolutely. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers have a share of the Big Ten championship. The men do at this point due to losses, 4 of 5 from Iowa and now 1 on the weekend from Maryland. But here they are. They're 2 games up on 4 other teams. in the standings, and that gives them two shots now to win it outright. And let's be fair here. It's nice to have the share, but Glass, at this, I mean, we want this team to finish strong.
Keep playing.
And I know, yeah, I know it's got two games against two of the better teams in the Big Ten, but as we said, Iowa, again, this is not, I'm not saying they're easy to win on senior night out in Iowa City, but they are a wounded duck at this point in time. With Maryland, Maryland's been a little all over the place, and that's a team that's got a ton of talent. So can they outscore Indiana here? No question about it, but we want this Hoosier team to finish strong. And even against a tough schedule, we'd like them to finish strong. I don't know that the Big Ten tournament champion means much to anybody at the end of the day.
It only means
much.
But you'd
like to finish as strong as you can.
Here's what it means to Indiana. Bettering their national seed. That's the part. That's the issue. It's neutral court games, Dave. We talked about it last segment. They don't have many notches in their belt on those games where they've all those teams they're supposed to beat in Maui that were supposed to be good. Well, that didn't happen.
Yep.
So that part of the schedule, I don't want to say blew up in their face because the result hasn't been driven that way, but it hasn't helped their national seed outlook. When people break down Indiana's numbers and say, wow, they're unbeaten at home, and so that means they've beaten everybody. Let's see what they've done on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Michigan game, nothing really jumps off the page at you. Illinois was 4-10 when Indiana went there on Thursday night.
No, I mean, their best wins are at home.
Yes, sir.
And their best wins are dramatic ones at home.
So to your point of why the Big Ten tournament does matter, that's how Indiana is going to move up nationally. Number one, if they are the number one seed, that means they will be outright Big Ten champions beating Maryland or Iowa. That will help the cause. Playing in the Big Ten tournament on a neutral site, boom, 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 you win three of those. Those are games at the winning time of the year that should count more than playing Notre Dame the 15th or 12th of December, whatever that game was at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That's why these games are highly important. It's hard to generate momentum because once you hit the Big Ten tournament, you can only lose one more time. The next one, you're done. There's no more, hey, homestand gets us back to what we've been doing well. We'll get comfy. We'll start knocking down shots. No, the next step to becoming a great team is taking all this that you've learned and putting it on display at Iowa, taking care of Maryland, taking it on a neutral court at Bankers Life. Hey, where was the biggest neutral court win?
Yeah.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another chip that just falls into place. We're not going to Chicago this year.
Nope.
They're going to Indy.
It's right here.
Down 16 against Notre Dame. How much time in that game to down 16?
12? 15 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Found a way.
Mm-hmm.
Found a way to get out of that. Found a way to get it moving. Those are teams. Hey, if you beat Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, you think that's going to help your resume?
Absolutely.
Absolutely right. So there is so much more to play for. I'm excited to see how this team comes out of the locker room tomorrow night in the second half and gets things figured out and going. This hasn't been a team we've seen, Dave, that starts brilliantly white hot.
No, it hasn't. Not often.
They've needed time to get through the gears. It's usually been the Zeisloff, OG,
yep.
Bielefeld, 12-minute mark, exactly lineup right. That starts to turn things around a little bit. You hope Indiana doesn't dig a hole too deep. Maybe against like Michigan State, it was a layup line. It was three-pointers and layup lines.
Yeah.
They know what they do poorly on the road. Iowa has plenty of talent to do it. And guess when you don't feel tired and feel better?
When you're at home.
And when shots go in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start making and when you start scoring. And those are teams, Indiana, Maryland, whoever they're going to play in the quarterfinals, whoever they're going to play in the semifinals, or the final of the Big Ten tournament, Dave, that's the teams you see from here on out.
Yep.
If you're a number four seed in the NCAA tournament.
All those teams are going to be knocked out for the most part.
If you're a number four seed in the tournament, that means the first day of the Sweet 16, you got a number one regional seed,
mm-hmm.
if it all goes according to Hoyle. So there are no more trips to Illinois or Illinois coming over here. So it's time to take what
you're
going to
get the 8 or 9 seed in the first game of the Big Ten championship, and that's about it.
And that team has nothing to play for except to do what? Make a run in the Big Ten tournament and try to steal it. And that's why all these games matter. And the mindset of those games and the execution in those games. And have we gotten over some of those lulls where we decide to take the first good shot we look at? No. What happened in that Illinois game in the second half? Did they come out and panic and just happen? No. They moved the ball. They had a couple tough contested ones. But once those started falling, Illinois had how many offensive rebounds in the second half? I think one, Joe told me. One.
We out-rebounded them by 20.
There you go. That's an effort category, right? So the effort's there. Shots go in. Effort starts rolling right along. So plenty to play for. It's an exciting week. Outright championships. It would be the second in 4 years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Great. What else do you want to do? In the regular season, you can't do anything else except win Big Ten championships. That's the only thing you're playing for. So you might as well win them. And this is number two. And the sweeter part would be the momentum taking you into the Big Ten tournament. The winning streak would be what? I won't even look it up. It doesn't matter. But beating Iowa and Maryland, people said, hey, how are you going to navigate those last two games? That's the hardest part of your schedule.
Yeah.
Go out and do it. It's right in front of you. You've got a great opportunity.
Three straight since the Michigan State game.
There you go. It'd be five to close going in the tournament. That's momentum.
And confidence, because they came out of that Michigan State game without a hell of a lot of confidence. Now, they put it to Nebraska and got up big on Purdue.
And that's the asterisk. How on the road at Iowa, a desperate Iowa team. They are playing for their lives.
And we know this is an Iowa team right now that does have tired legs. This is a Hoosier team that has been scoring the ball awfully well the last couple games. The Illinois game, I don't know if there's a lot to look at from that standpoint, other than I think their mentality in the second half. Illinois has kind of fallen off the wayside, certainly helped that
Illinois
out.
Illinois knew it was over 6 minutes into the second
their
half.
Spirit was going to be gone done. At some point. They made a couple minor runs and maybe got down to double digits or so, but that was about it. But with Iowa, it will be their senior night. It is a bunch of seniors on this team. It's going to be a big game for them. How long does that last? And I think that's the key. You mentioned don't dig yourself too far of a hole. That, to me, is the whole key. Keep it in touching distance for a while, because where's most of the emotion for Iowa going to come? It's going to come in the first half. It's going to come early on. They're going to try to jump all over you, and good for them. You hold on to that, and like you said, several of these second halves, you've come out of the gate in the second half outside of the Michigan State game and had really good second halves and kind of taken a pretty good size lead. This would be another game to do that.
Yep, but Penn State, you never led by more than four. So we've seen these two different sides of Indiana. We've seen the blowout, the bad team at Illinois. Indiana's got that team's number. And then the struggle against Penn State. Championship teams. They're a championship team right now. To take it one more step, Dave, these are games you win. These aren't games you say, well, it's Iowa, and we just gave you an excuse of why it could happen. Go beat them. Go beat somebody on the road maybe you shouldn't beat.
Right.
And just put your stamp on it, stick your chest out, and say, we're Big Ten champs, here we come.
Be done.
Who's next?
Yeah.
We're number one in the league. We're number one in the postseason tournament. Here we come. Until you do that, you haven't done it. It's a new ground. It's new territory to break, and the Hoosiers have a fantastic opportunity to do so because, yes, they've clinched the Big Ten championship. Something else will be clinched on Sunday when Maryland comes to town, if it doesn't get going tomorrow night in Iowa City. So plenty to play for.
Well, we said they have their chances in front of them.
Opportunity's knocking.
Here
they are. Open the door. Kick down that door.
Took care of Purdue at home. Took care of Iowa here. Now you've got Iowa and Maryland here. We all knew this would be the hard part, but it's in front of them. Now they've got everything to play for. Win one, and you are outright. Win two, and you are
outrighter.
Still outright. But
and you're hot, and you got momentum going.
Right now, you know you got a share, and they can make it a bigger share, if you will, make it a bigger deal. All in their control, and that's tomorrow night. Also tomorrow night, high school sectional basketball at Brown County. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, 7:30 tip-off for Owen Valley at Edgewood. Again, there's a earlier game, so that could adjust slightly, but it'll be 7 and 7:30 at the earliest. So tune in then and join us again on Wednesday when we talk about the Hoosiers' big win at Iowa City. You've been in the zone. Yeah.